Hi, welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to Daryl Seigler, the founder and creator of Smartphone Video Marketing. So we're talking smartphones, video, and lots of marketing. How can we do video better? Thanks for downloading. Now, creating video for social media or your website can be a right old faff, can't it? It's time-consuming, we don't always know if it works, and video can be really, really hard to do. Now, don't fear. Daryl Seigler is here to offer insight and tips and advice on how to do video better. Daryl is the founder of Smartphone Video Marketing, which helps small, medium businesses create their own video marketing content without the need for video production companies or expensive film equipment, and all through the power of your smartphone. Now, you can find Daryl at smartphonevideo.marketing, that's smartphonevideo.marketing. Don't forget to check out the free ebook on the website. Now, can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free? I'd love it if you could give the pod a quick shout on social media and subscribe via your favourite podcast app. Just check out all the links, more podcasts, at jtid.co.uk/podcasts. Now, the first thing I asked Daryl was, does video production quality matter that much in the new world of social media?
Well, I think it's an interesting one, John. It's really within the context of the intention of the video in the first instance. I think, you know, we will always be driven by the need to try and produce something the best way we can. I think inherently, if people want to do video, they always have this belief that it has to be perfect in a way. Yeah. It has to be very polished in the sense. And in some aspects, that works. For some brands, it definitely works. But equally, I think the type of video that you may be producing and the intention of that video, no, high production values do not necessarily matter. I mean, the classic example is just doing lives. You know, you may be a company that is doing something, a live event, you're doing a product reveal or anything like that. And for argument's sake, you just may be going out live. And in that instance, it is very raw.
Sure.
It is simply as it happens. So in that context, no, it doesn't have to be. Equally, I've seen videos that have done very, very well from a sort of viral and a social point of view that are just simply rough and raw and capture the moment as it happens.
It's kind of like this authentic feeling, isn't it? Which is pretty big at the moment. The things need to be authentic.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. I mean, there's two sort of trains of thought, if you like. That yes, you can have high production value videos, films, commercials, and everything's very polished and very slick, and you know that's just the way it is. And then that's something that we instantly recognize as, you know, a commercial or being marketed to in the true sense of the word. But then you have this, as you say, this raw, authentic, smartphone captured moment that just happens as and when, and we're immersed in that experience. We almost lose that sense of what it is because it's capturing the moment. We're getting all the senses of the sights, the sounds, what's occurring within that moment. And we, to a certain extent, we disregard the fact that it is a raw, you know, a rather raw production just for the messaging that comes through it.
Yeah, and you're still being marketed to just the same at the end of the
day. Well, I mean, exactly. I mean, if you can do it, you can do it well.
Yeah.
You very much give this sense of a raw, natural experience.
Yeah.
But equally, it's very strategic in the way that you position it. Yes, and that's the grail, the holy grail.
I think, do you think the days of that giant corporate video where the drone flies over headquarters and zooms down to the CEO and the board standing there looking like Victorian gentlemen in front of their empire, do you think all of that's gone now? I hope so.
Well, I think, you know, within the structure of corporate business, those videos and that sort of image will always exist because that's the nature of corporate business. You know, they're very professional in the way that they are. And, you know, ultimately they answer to stockholders and shareholders and so on and so forth. But equally, the modern day dictates that, you know, there's a new way of doing things. There's a fresh way of doing things. I don't know if you saw the video of the Dollar Shave Club.
I did, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it was just a very sort of raw and natural, almost a comedy value to him looking at what he does with his business and having a bit of a dig at the competitors. And it was authentic in the way it came across. And, you know, that was a video that very much was structured in a very strategic way, but presented in a rather natural comedy way as well. And I mean, it just went viral. So I think the more natural you can be within your company in terms of the way that you portray who you are, I think goes a long way, because ultimately people do business with people. And, you know, business is a personal experience. And if you can portray who you are and what you do through video in a very personal way, I think there's a connection that's invaluable.
Now, all this authenticity, all this sort of like, you mentioned the Dollar Shave Club video. I'll leave a link in the show notes to this so people can click on this and have a look, because it's a great, great video. But I would imagine an awful lot of thought and an awful lot of planning actually went on behind the scenes. So it wasn't, it may look as if somebody just picked up a camera and videoed something and stuck it on the internet and it all took 5 minutes. But I got a funny feeling there was a lot of planning to make it look like that.
Yeah, most definitely. And I mean, that's people with who are very good at what they do in terms of their skill set. And they probably set out from a strategic point of view to try and achieve what was the end result, and they got it by all means. But, you know, that comes from years of experience, and what they did worked. But equally, you know, what we talk about with smartphone video marketing, it's capturing the moments within your business as and when they happen. You can get very authentic and very real moments that if you know how to essentially capture that moment and edit it into a way that you can create a little bit of marketing magic for your business, but equally you do it in a way that's quite natural because you are literally capturing the moment as and when it happens. I mean, this is the thing. People talk about video and the equipment and everything that goes with it, and they say, you know, well, what's the best camera to have? You know, should I have a Panasonic, a Sony, a DSLR, a mirrorless?
Yeah.
And I'm ultimately saying, look, the best camera to have is the one that you actually have on you when the moment occurs, the camera that you are able to capture the moment with. And for most people, that is going to be a smartphone. The camera technology that exists within the smartphones these days is, you know, it's amazing, and it is really good quality camera. And if you're able to understand how to sort of do fundamental shots and how to structure the elements of storytelling in a way that's sympathetic to your message, you can quite easily capture that and package that up into a marketing moment.
Yeah, I suppose at the end of the day, you could give me like the most expensive camera on the market. You could give me, a 10 grand, video camera, and I can record you something really rubbish on that camera. It's not necessarily the technology, is it? It's what you do with it.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's that classic 80-20 rule as well. You know, you only got to look at it from a software perspective. All these people that use software, you only might use 20% of the features.
Yeah.
And it's a similar thing, exactly that. I think for the technology that goes into the cameras in the phones these days, it is more than capable of being able to capture moments as and when they happen. And the big thing with smartphone video marketing is we take a lot of our origins from what was the basis of mobile journalism.
Sure.
And it's interesting because mobile journalism sort of found its origins around 2014, 2015. And it was very much shunned upon by the mainstream media.
Yeah.
As in, this was just a couple of journalists having to play around with their little cameras on their phones. Oh, isn't that fun? Isn't that cute? But you will never be serious. It will never be serious journalism. And as the phones improved, as the cameras improved within the phones, the picture quality apps were introduced into the ecosystem. So they were then able to start editing actual video footage within the phones themselves. Everything was working towards an improvement in the workflow. And then, before you know it, you're getting HD quality camera. So here was cameramen, mobile journalists that were able to fundamentally on traditional cameras capture really good video stories, but they were just changing the mechanism and the way they were doing it. So they were now using mobile phones. And the other thing that was quite crucial in this advancement of the principles of mobile journalism was before, you know, they used to go out with three-man crews, you know, cameraman, sound person, and journalist. And just from a economic point of view, that was quite expensive.
Yeah.
As it evolved, and as the mobile phone came into play and newsrooms started to accept what was mobile journalism through the phone, one individual could go out. They could go out with their audio, capture everything through the phone itself, film, edit, upload that into the cloud, and then, you know, the newsroom was fundamentally able to pull that into the news story. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised the amount of phone footage they actually see on the news these days and just accept it for being conventional camera footage.
Yeah, it's funny you say about the holding the microphone sort of thing. That was my very, very first job ever, a very long time ago. It was back in the 80s. And I literally held a microphone for the reporter. I went out round Birmingham with a reporter, radio reporter, and held a microphone for them. But but like you say, back then, there was a lot of snobbery around the quality. If a bus went past, you would scrap the audio. No matter how good that audio was, no matter how good that clip was, bus goes past, can't broadcast, it's not good enough quality. That doesn't tend to matter as much now, does it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a combination of a few conditions. Yes, the phones are giving us video footage, but also, you know, a lot more footage has been seen through the medium of social, and that just enables us to accept what is a rawer type of footage, if you like.
Hmm.
I mean, you've only got to look back to probably last year, I think it was, the start of the pandemic. I think that as well fast-tracked a pretty fundamental shift because all these countries, all these economies went into lockdown, and so did the news platforms.
Yeah.
They couldn't effectively go out and talk to people. So I saw it. I mean, I'm in sort of a lot of mobile journalism communities because that's where I take my inspiration from. And, you know, they were having to do their stories by talking to people that were in a lockdown situation, but actually telling them how to get the video footage for them. They were saying, look, can you set up your phones? Can you do this? Can you do this type of piece to camera so we can record everything? And because of that, a lot more user-generated content within a mobile phone experience was being shown on TV a lot more. I mean, I saw a live feed from Boris Johnson, I think, in number 10 on a mobile phone. And, you know, this is the Prime Minister of a G8 country.
Yeah, yeah. So does all this video really work? Or is it just like a bit of a social media vanity exercise? Because you get that impression for some folk. We're looking at some of the video on social media. It's definitely a vanity exercise. But does it actually work? Can it generate leads? Can it generate sales?
I think it can, John. There's a couple of ways of looking at it. There's very much the data-led perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have, let's take a very simple sales page, and that sales page is just purely text, you know, a few call to actions, so on and so forth. You know, I've seen tests done where they may actually introduce a video on that sales page, and by the introduction of that video, sales through that page have actually increased because of the personal nature of what the video brings of value to that sales page. So in those instances where you're clearly able to measure something with, you know, a result before and after the introduction of video, for instance, yes, I would say in that case, by all means, it does add value. Then you have the other aspects of what we call loose metrics. You know, is it really measurable? And you have this term, you know, brand value, is that really measurable in a sense by the nature of just getting a video out there? Well, I take an optimistic view that A, you are getting something out there that's very personable. You're getting something out there that shows what you do and how you do it in a very personal nature. So people ultimately have a connection. Well, they will either have a connection or they won't have a connection with you on a very personal level. So I think those are clearly not measurable in the true sense, but do they provide value long term in terms of other humanistic points of view? I think they do. And that's what people sometimes pull into what they call loosely this brand value, because there's so many other things that are coming into play there.
I think when you see someone and you hear someone, you instantly gain more trust and more authority, don't you?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think I remember a really clear moment some time ago, and I was talking to an engineering technician, and he in Australia actually, and he installed lubrication systems into sort of mechanics garages, and you know, very mechanical orientated businesses. And I just thought, oh, he's a lubricant installer, and I had no real concept of what that entailed, and I just went, okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. And then I think about 2 weeks later, he was out on a job, and he actually set up his smartphone. He put it onto Hyperlapse, which was just this sense of, you know, when you capture time in fast forward motion.
Yeah.
And I think he captured probably, which was about 2 hours of his work installing all this pipe work, but he did it in such a beautiful way. It sounds rather bizarre, but through the nature of engineering and all these pipe work, it was all symmetrical. It was all very clean lines. You know, you can almost, it was something like out of a Formula One garage. Everything about it was just really nice, symmetrical. And straight away, it just shifted my perspective on what he does and how he did it. And I was like, wow, okay, that is the power of video. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. I love it as a medium.
So how long do our videos need to be? Or is it a little bit like how long is a piece of string? I mean, is there kind of like a limit where we just need to just shut up and stop recording, basically?
It's interesting. I think it depends on the type of people you're talking to. You know, there will always be people within your business that are not necessarily problem aware and in terms of solution aware,
sure,
for what you do. And you know, people talk about this top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, and bottom of the funnel. And I think for those different types of people, you have different types of videos, and you know, again, different types of time around those videos. For someone that knows nothing about you, you know, it may be just their time span could be as much as sort of 15, 20 seconds at the most. You know, all they want to know, you got to try and capture them with a hook. Yeah. And if that hook can capture them, yes, okay, that's fine. But, you know, you may not get more than a minute out of their time. For someone that knows what you do and wants to know a little bit more about your, say, the way that you do it, your systems, they may give you anywhere up to, I don't know, you know, 5-10 minutes of their time, just in terms of you talking to them about the way that you do certain things within your business. And then equally, you might have people, I've wanted to know more about the way that someone does something, and I've sat there and I've watched 45 minute videos just so I can understand about it in more detail, the complexity, the nitty-gritty of how things work. So I think it's relative to the individuals that you're trying to talk to, and I think that is also why you try and create different types of videos of varying time frames, so you are able to capture those individuals at every aspect of that journey.
Yeah, it comes back to planning again, doesn't it? Trying to think about answering those questions the customers have. So you might want to split up your videos and have a mixture of things like a how-to video, a Q&A video, just like a show-and-tell video, I suppose. You can mix this up depending on the type of problems and questions you're trying to answer for your clients.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, we very much take a view from a strategic point of view in terms of the type of videos that we do. We take the view in terms of, you know, new client acquisition. So an element of that could be how-tos, Q&As, breaking down objections. And, you know, that could consist of short videos that just have, you know, short punchy hooks that straight away break objections. But equally, you know, we have other types of videos that possibly work from a back end part of the business. So businesses fundamentally thrive on making money, excuse me, but they also thrive on saving money through procedures and systems at the back end. And equally, video can be introduced into that part of the business as well. So sure. For instance, you can use onboarding videos. Yeah. Now, that can be both within a new client perspective, but hey, it could also be within an employee perspective, sure, as well. So it's, you know, there's so much variety. If you find you're doing something over and over again, hey, why not try and introduce that that theme that you keep talking about into the context of a video.
What if we're really rubbish at recording videos? If we're literally rubbish at it, like I am. have you got any tips on how we can solve like hand wobbles and you know, I mean, is it just down to lighting? I suppose good light helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at the sort of the practical aspects of making video, you're absolutely right. Good lighting is essential. Natural light is very much our friend. Yeah. We want to capture that natural light as and when we can. You want to make sure the subject is well lit. The other aspect I would say is stability. Mm. You want to ensure that you can get a nice stable shot, and you can do that through the use of a tripod. Or equally, you can do it through the use of using a handheld video rig. We have special ones that we use that enable us to put our smartphones into them, and it just gives us more handheld stability.
Yeah,
and just makes for a nicer shot. The other thing that I would say is very important is shot variety, and just to use the context of a real life situation here, so. Imagine you go into a new environment. Just say it's a party situation, for instance. What will happen is you will walk into that room, and if you can imagine our eyes almost being the camera. So the first thing you will do is you will take the context of the whole room. You will do a whole scan of the room, and if you like, that is our wide shot within the context of a camera. The next thing we do is we start to focus on the individual elements. So we might actually move forward with our feet as well as start to focus on, say, an individual. So we will move in for what may now be a medium type of shot, and we will frame that individual, say, from the waist up to get more detail about who they are and what they're doing. And then they may be doing something with their hands, and equally that we may start to sort of go in a little bit closer and start to frame in on those details around the hands and what they're doing. It is exactly the same context within filming, if you like.
Sure.
Try and tell the story within the context of these variety of shots. Have wide shots, have medium shots, have really close-up shots on details of hands and what they're doing and on facial movements. And then it's really just bringing that all together. And it really adds a lot more interest to your videos as and when you do them. But equally, coming back to your first point, what happens if we're just rubbish at video?
Yeah.
Look, it's a journey. We all have to start from somewhere. And I think it's, yes, we are a bit rough and ready and raw when we first start out. And it's like anything, you know, you can't go from nowhere to running a marathon overnight. It takes a lot of exercise, a lot of pain, a lot of being uncomfortable to actually go on that journey. And it's exactly the same with video. And I think you just have to accept that, and the nature of it being imperfect action is progress, and progress is, you know, moving towards getting better at what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned about sort of like creating some sort of a story. Do you think even with small videos like 1 minute social media videos, we should be storyboarding the video? Would that help?
Yeah, I think I mean, it's essentially planning. By planning and storyboarding, you're able to then understand, right, I talked about the shot variety before. Okay, that's it. I just need these three or four simple shots that's really going to help give context to what I'm trying to tell. And yes, that definitely is a good way to approach making video.
What about editing? I mean, I've done some video editing, like a little social media videos and training videos and things like that. And I've always found the software to be awkward. What do you recommend to edit with? How do we edit better, I suppose?
Yeah, I think editing is part of the game by all means. And you know, coming back to your point earlier about being rubbish at video, this is where editing can hide a lot of our sins.
Yeah.
You know, and there's been days where, you know, things just won't come out of my mouth for whatever reason. I'm just tongue-tied and I just can't get the message out. And, you know, it might take 3, 4, 5 different takes.
Yeah.
But just let it roll, and then you can cut it out in the edit by all means. But I think in the same way that learning to film is a skill, learning to edit in the same way is a skill as well. And whilst you go on that filming video, that filming journey, video journey, you will also go on an editing journey as well, because it is part of the process. And, you know, you can tell two different stories in two different ways simply in the way that you edit. I don't really want to get too much into the editing process, because
sure,
that is a skill all in itself. But I think just in terms of keeping it simple, and we talked about that shot variety and the way you can all bring it together, you can do that in the editing process. And yes, it just helps tighten up the way that you tell your story, by all means. And in terms of editing software, I mean, we are very much mobile first in what we do, because right. It makes us more agile. And, you know, effectively, if we go out and we do any sort of filming, we can then cut and edit the actual process on our phones, be it wherever we are. And that's the way that we like to operate.
Are you editing on the phone, or are you editing on a tablet with a larger screen?
Both. It purely just depends on where we are and what we're doing at the time. Yes, we do have an iPad that we take with us now, purely because it gives us a lot more screen space.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
But, you know, initially when I was starting out, I was very much on the phones. And it was just a matter of doing it and getting it done. And the reason I say that is because it makes us so much more agile in the way that we can actually get information out. And again, it comes back to this reference with mobile journalism. You know, if you're in the field and you're capturing something there and then, if you're able to pull it all together, you're able to film it on your phone, you're able to edit it on your phone, you're able to capture the audio on your phone, bring it all together, package it up, produce it, get it out. Yeah, you're dynamic and you're sort of the first mover, which I think is a really positive aspect to it.
So we've got our cool smartphone, we've got our little standy type thing to stop all the hand wobble, we've storyboarded everything, we've done everything. I suppose all of that really is quite procedural and quite simple. But the really hard thing, I think, is coming up with the idea in the first place. How do we be creative? Where do we get ideas for a video from?
Yes, creative angles. That's the thing. It's challenging. I find information. I mean, information's all around us. I mean, we've got more exposure to information now than we have at any other time, you know, in history past. And I think that's always the best place to look around for creative ideas. One of the things I've always believed in is a process I call like a mind dump. And I have a simple document that I know I've always got access to, and it's on my, you know, phone, it's on my all my devices. And just through the everyday moments of doing what you do, you know, you follow people, you look at various news feeds, and things will always come into your world that, you know, through cause and effect or just through a serendipitous moment, they will appear. But what it might do is prompt a response from you in terms of, yeah, okay, maybe I could do this in conjunction with that, or maybe I can introduce this. And those moments might be very fleeting. But for me, it's always like, right, get that moment down. So straight away, I go straight into my mind dump folder, and I always just put these ideas down. And it's better you get them down and you can come back to them, because all too often, they go as soon as they come. So yeah. I think there's so much creativity out there. It's just understanding how it relates to what you do, how you do it, and understanding how you can possibly put your own twist on it. We don't want to copy, no way. I mean, we all need to be unique in what we do.
So I mean, I was going to say that this sort of like jump on the bandwagon thing. I don't know. I remember there was one not long ago. I think it was last year, wasn't it, with a guy on a skateboard skating down in some Fleetwood Mac or something playing in the background.
Oh, yes, the TikTok.
Yeah, and as soon as that happened, like about 8,000 companies within an hour produced one. Should we stay away from that kind of bandwagon stuff?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think I can't answer for everyone. I mean, I tend to sort of sway away from that.
Yeah.
But I think the nature of where it occurred, so it occurred within, you know, the platform TikTok. And TikTok is very much about that. You know, as soon as something gets a hook to it, everyone's on it. But within the context of what you do within your business, hey, I think you need to be authentic in terms of who you are. And that definitely goes a lot further.
Fantastic. I could talk for hours with you, Daryl, about this because it's a fascinating topic. Where can we find you? Where's your website and all your social media bits and pieces? Where can we see some videos?
Yes, John. So, I mean, the one place I would send everyone is to smartphonevideo.marketing. That's our website. And if you go to that, there's an ebook there that is great, very informative on 7 aha moments that will break down the way that you think about video marketing forever. And then equally, we have blogs, with lots of different articles there on what we do and how we do it. And all my other social channels are within that website as well. So yeah, it'd be great for people to visit, understand more about smartphone video marketing and the way that it can introduce or even get you started with video.
Brilliant. I'll leave links in the show notes so people can just tap away and visit the site. Thanks for your time, Daryl. Really appreciate it.
Excellent, John. Thank you.
Thanks again to Daryl for his time. Don't forget to grab a copy of the ebook at smartphonevideo.marketing. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can subscribe for more on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Google, everywhere. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.